Professor Smith, can you please tell us about the breakthrough you and the team at the Hunter Medical Research Institute have had in understanding the mysteries of stillbirth?
Well, stillbirth is a major problem. It's reasonably common, unfortunately, about one in every 150 pregnancies end in stillbirth. And often the baby, when it dies, looks perfectly normal. And it's been a puzzle as to why the babies die. And our work has shown that in many cases, it's related to aging of the placenta. The organ that the baby relies upon for oxygen, glucose, and all the other nutrients during pregnancy.
And so the placenta is the most common reason for stillbirth? Is that what we believe?
Yeah, that's very likely to be the case. And the reason that we identified that as the cause is we were aware that the likelihood of a stillbirth occurring increases as you go along in pregnancy, particularly in the last weeks. And this notion of an increased risk of death with time actually fits the mathematical definition of aging, which is that the likelihood of death increases with time. And because of that link, we looked at the biochemistry of the placenta in the final weeks of pregnancy and showed that many of the changes associated with aging occur in those last weeks of pregnancy in the placenta, and that we can see much more aging in the placentas at, say, 41 weeks than we can at, say, 37, 38 weeks. And then we compared those aging-related biochemical changes to placentas from patients who'd had a stillbirth and shown exactly the same changes.
Do some women make placentas that are naturally older than others? How does this work?
Yeah, so firstly, just to correct one idea there, is that the woman doesn't produce the placenta. The placenta comes from the same tissue that comes to form the baby. So if you like, the man and the woman have an equal contribution to creating the placenta. It looks as though the placenta, like you and I, are like age differently. Each person ages slightly differently from others. So I'm sure you've noticed friends who are the same age as you, and some of them look older and some of them look younger. And it's likely to be the same with the placenta. And why a particular person ages more slowly or faster is likely to be a mixture of the genetics that make up that person, and also their environment. Same is likely to occur for the placenta. So there are likely to be some genetic variations, but also things like cigarette smoking might make the placenta age more rapidly.
Professor Smith, how do you plan to test for placentas that are aging rapidly?
Well, the placenta releases some of its material into the mother's bloodstream. So we know what chemicals to look for in the mother's blood, and that's what we're starting to do at the moment. But we haven't developed this test yet. It's not ready to roll out and use on pregnant women at the moment, I'm afraid. It's likely to take 3 to 5 years for us to develop such a test. So it's still not yet available, unfortunately.
Professor Smith, what was more groundbreaking for your team, finding the cause for many stillbirths or taking the initial steps to creating the test?
For us, each part of the pathway is exciting. Just understanding that it's aging of the placenta may help many families deal with the stillbirth they've experienced, because often a lady who's had a stillbirth will blame herself and feel terrible guilt as though it's something she's done, whereas our data show that that's not what happens. Unfortunately, it's aging of the placenta, something that almost certainly she had no control over. So that may be helpful in itself for many families at the moment. Then understanding the process of aging and how aging actually occurs in the placenta may allow us to design techniques to slow aging. We're working on that. And then, perhaps most importantly, to develop diagnostic tests to predict the woman who's at high risk of having a stillbirth, and allowing the obstetricians to intervene and deliver the baby before it dies. Each of these things is pretty exciting and important, I think, in helping to improve the care of pregnant women in Australia and around the planet.
So if this test can be successfully developed, what are the steps that will take place if a test comes up positive?
Okay. So if a test came up positive, we'd expect the obstetrician to carefully look at that pregnancy with other techniques, perhaps with ultrasound, and then the obstetrician and the family would have to make a decision about whether it's in the interests of the baby for the baby to be delivered before death occurs. And that will vary with each pregnancy. If the baby is still very young, say under 25 weeks, then delivering the baby may not be a very good option. And there, it might be that a medication that slows aging might give the baby the best options. But on the other hand, if the baby's, say, at 38 weeks already, then clearly delivering the baby before it dies would be the sensible thing to do.
As a scientist who has worked at the heart of this issue, do you have any advice for parents and especially women who have had a stillborn child?
Not to blame themselves is the key thing. And hopefully work like this and even stories like your own may help to make it easier for such people, knowing that they're not alone, that there's a lot of families who unfortunately have to deal with this trauma. And it may also help for other people to be aware of stillbirth so that they can be supportive to couples and families who have experienced this trauma.